Did we think about what happened, you know, and Jesus entering Jerusalem and what that week held for him? And Lord, it's overwhelming. So we just give you glory in all things. I pray a blessing upon this service, Lord, and I pray you just be an encouragement to each individual, Lord. And I do pray for all the people that are traveling. I just pray, Lord Jesus, keep them safe, keep the angels around them, and that they have a good time and get back safely, Lord. And I do pray you take care of them, Lord. And I pray anyone that's hearing and then once present, Lord, to be encouraged by your word and your love, and that your work in this world, and we don't have to be discouraged. So I thank you for that, and I pray you just anoint me. I'd speak forth words of the Spirit, and each heart would be open to receive of the Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You're going to love this opening verse. 3 John chapter 4. 3 John verse 4. Excuse me. There's only one chapter, 3 John. So we have spent our time in 2 John. I can't help myself. How many of you have ever heard a message out of 3 John? See, I think we got three messages out of 2 John. I said, who'd ever heard a message out of 2 John? And nobody. You know, it's just a little book, you know, one chapter. I thought, 3 John. Nobody heard anything, you know, and I'm going to get three messages out of 3 John. I've asked the Lord for insight. So here we are. You're going to be able to say, we heard three messages on 2 John. Before this is over, you'll be able to say that you've heard three messages on 3 John. This is a great verse, though. It's just like 3 John, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. Oh, all God's people said, amen, oh Lord Jesus. So what you see here, and this is very personal, as you can imagine, that the Apostle John, who wrote the Gospel of John, which is really focuses on faith and love just really reads different than the three synoptic gospels, just how he presents it. It was written much later. And then you have this book, these three books that were written afterwards to his people who he had oversight. It started all these churches, and he had oversight. And so they were having some issues. So he writes 1 John, you know, and it really has some interesting in-depth things. And then he kind of just like jots in his mind, you know, I mean, if you wrote the Gospel of John, he jots down a quick note, if you will, to the congregations. It's 2 John and 3 John. They're quick notes from John to the congregation, trying to encourage them. And these are people he's led to the Lord, or, you know, disciples, and they're having all sorts of issues. And so he's really concerned about them. So he's dropping these quick notes to them in 2 John and 3 John. And so as we see here, In verse 4, and it's, I've no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. So you can see that note, that heart, you know, he presents in that kind of, so you get a feeling of the book. And then what he reveals, of course, all scriptures inspired, God breathed, and so we get some insights in our Christian walk. So no greater joy here. So he puts things in perspective. And now, technically, we're going to cover it. There's lots of application here, but this statement is really concerning, you would say, concerning a pastor and his congregation. That's kind of the picture you have here. Now, John had maybe several congregations of things that people he'd left, you know, house churches and what have you. But so you get the idea of the statement concerning a pastor and his congregation. So it helps us in context to understand what John's saying. And so, for us to get the full picture of what John is how he's communicating, you know, he's talking to his congregation, and I'm oversimplifying it, you know, and so it's him, a pastor, showing, you know, his love for his children, you know, his congregation, a pastoral love for his congregation. Now, to put this in context, you know, for us to grasp the, what's being said here and to get the full impact, is to put it in a family sense. If we put it in a family sense, we understand what the clearer what the Lord is doing here. So, as parents, like I said, as parents, we might have like no greater joy, if you will, than their son made the football team. Or their girl made the soccer team. And they both came home with straight A's on their report card. I mean, that'd be some joy, you know. But that's not what he's talking about. I mean, that's not always. That's some joy, but that's not what he's talking about. The parents' greatest joy should be that their children are walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. And it helps us, we understand that, keep things in perspective. Now, so to put this in perspective of what he's saying, let's look at the first verse and see how the Apostle John is addressing this disciple. This disciple. So you got a quick note. Here's how he is addressing his disciple. 3 John, verse 1. The elder, which is John, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So this is the guy in the church. He says, to my beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Now, as we read on in 3 John, on the third message or so, we kind of get the idea that Gaius is not the pastor of the church. Okay, he's not the pastor of the church. The pastor of the church has got issues. Okay, anyway, we'll get to him. But so he's writing to Gaius in this church, and who he loves in the truth. So he addresses Gaius here, and the word here is my dear friend, whom I love, or my dear friend, whatever translation you want to say. And his warm affection for Gaius permeates this entire letter. So it's like Gaius is standing, he's the bulwark, you know, standing going forward, and he's trying to encourage Gaius to stand strong. And John loves Gaius in the truth. See, truth and love are the two most prominent themes in John's message. It really focuses on truth and love and the things that are going on. And so what it also tells us here, when we look closely at it, this reflects the importance of right belief with true love. You know, you see that? He loves him. He speaks. He has no greater joy, you know, and he loves him in truth. So it's really connected. Man, I just love you dearly, you know, and it's like in truth. The truth is a motivation and the connection in the love. So that's so combined together. There's a truth that you're standing on that works in me, a deep love for you because you're standing on the truth. Now, and that's something for us to understand, you know. I use this as a joke because everybody can kind of relate, you know. So I love my children so much I can't discipline them. Well, the Bible tells you that you don't love them. It just flat says, oh, I just love them so much I just can't. It says, well, no, because you love your children in truth and love. You know, there's enough love that you know you have to discipline them in truth and raise them up in truth. They're connected. You can't separate those. You can't separate those two. And I think a lot of people try to separate those two. We'll go along with something and allow no truth and say, well, that's pure love. And it's like, no, there has to be more connection to that. Love is always an action. Love is an action. Love is never passive, you know. You never call me. I know, you know I love you. I'll call you someday. Your actions show you don't care. You don't care. You see what I'm saying? So love has force, and it's agape love. Love has an action. So you move forward in an action. And so what it's saying is here that when we say love the congregation, you love your people, well, it should be shown in an action. You know, hey, well, this is in the hospital. Come, you come and see me. You know, I'm watching the ball game. Now, actually, Rich has actually accused me of that. He did. He got sick, and he had a, you know, and he said, I didn't care, and I didn't come and see him. And I just, he wasn't that sick, you know. I just, you know, I call him. I say, suck it up, buttercup. We got that. You know, anyway, so, but you should, you know, other than Rich, I've been very good, but I did not come to see him when he was sick. I don't think I even called. So was anyway, Rich has forgiven me, and we're working on it. So, no, but you see what I'm saying here. But it's really important. One would look. We just kind of look over that. But something we need to run. Truth and love go together. You know, it's not, well, I love you because you're good. No, that's not what we're saying. It's just like we love that. That love is connected to truth, and our connection to you is in truth and love. That's where love comes out. It comes out as an action there. And the whole thing, by the way, John is just saying, I love you in truth and action. So he's not asking anyway. He's just telling Gaius, man, hey, brother, I love you. Now, so that's the things we need to keep in mind to understand what true love is. See, and love is God's nature. Love is God's nature. I mean, the Bible says God loved us while we were yet sinners. Okay? But then also he said, you know, there's a response to the truth of our love to him, always in connection to that, where he says that he loves us because we stand for him. We stand for who he is, you know. He loves us unconditionally, but also he loves us because we stand for him, and he will reward us for standing for him. All right, so I hope I'm not making that too confusing for you, but love is God's nature, and this self-giving love should be seen among Jesus' disciples. Now, here's where it all comes to, okay? That love should be seen among Jesus' disciples, that they love one another, and they want one another in truth. Now, it's like we gather here and say, well, come to this church because we love Jesus, okay? No, really, that's part of it, but you come to this church because you love each other. You see what I'm saying? Because, I mean, there's a lot of churches that love Jesus. I mean, they love Jesus, you know. It's like, well, I don't know any of the people like that, but okay. I know these people and I love these people, so I won't come to this church. You see what? See, so what brings us together while we come here is truth. It's truth. You know, it's like there's an element among us here that we believe and hold on to the same truth. That truth, and therefore we love one another, and we know we're on the same foundation, you know, of that. Amen? You see what I'm saying? So it really gives us a perspective here, and it's going to unfold some even more interesting things we see here. And so, therefore, like Gaius, those who love within the sphere of this truth, they love and fear. And this truth is the truth about Jesus, his life, his death, and his teaching. That truth brings us together in love, in love. And so we are standing on that, and then that builds our love deeper and deeper and deeper, like that, by standing on that truth. Now so we all got that. But this next verse, this is kind of like, in my opinion, this is kind of like a skipped over verse. It's one of those that you read this and you go, wait, this is pretty powerful, you know, but it's not, it's kind of one that I feel like is just kind of skipped over, or people haven't meditated. I shouldn't say meditated on, you know, it's one that I have skipped over and I haven't meditated enough on. I'll just put it that way. But when you look at it and you think, oh my gosh, there's a lot said here. There's a lot of depth here. And, of course, he's talking to his friends. He's talking to people he's raised up. So there's a whole method of teaching behind them already when he writes this letter. This is not the first time they heard from John. John has a big-time relationship. So this is kind of a cherry on the cupcake of like, oh, by the way, I just want to remind you of this, you know, with everything else you know. But listen to this verse. It's really fascinating to me. So we're in 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, Yes, beloved, my friend, I want to embrace you. Beloved, you know, we kind of overlooked that. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. What? What do you mean? I pray that you be in good health. You know, if I was writing that letter, I'd put period. Okay. But no, he says, as it goes well with your soul. There's some connection here between health and soul. Now, your soul is your inner makeup. Your inner makeup. Your flesh, you know, your health. You, again, pinch your little cheek. You know, I do that. You know, that's what. But your soul is your inner. You know, your soul doesn't catch a cold. Okay, your body catches a cold, all right, but your soul doesn't catch a cold. Now, so I want you to think about this for a minute. And again, what's fascinating, he's jotting a note down. You know, he's like, okay, I hope you guys are doing well. You know, I'm praying for you. You know, it's not meant to be a 21 chapters like the Gospel of John, you know. And he says this, like, I know you know this, but you know I'm praying for you along this line. And John prays that the things will be well for Gaius' physical health. I pray things will be well for your physical health, consistent with his strong spiritual health. Pray things for your physical health, be good, consistent with your strong spiritual health. Now just think about that, man. What does physical health have to do with your spiritual health? See, now what we have here we see a clear connection of one's physical health to their spiritual health. Now, everyone gets sick in the Christian world. I mean, it's a fallen world. You know, I was at a pastor's meeting and this guy had a cold. He says, oh, just, you know, have a cold. He says, I don't have a cold. I've just been attacked by the devil. And I think, no, you got a cold, you know. You just got a cold. I didn't say anything. But that really irritates me. Oh, the devil attacked me. I said, if the devil going to attack you, he got more arsenal than that. You know, I mean, he's not going to give you the sniffles. He's going to lay you out. You know, anyway, so I don't. So, you know, showing great discretion, I kept my mouth shut. I didn't say anything. But I think the whole thing about, we get sick, and it's a fallen world. You get sick, and you have to work through those things. However, in that, we should understand that there's a connection between the physical and the spiritual. That by walking with the Lord, spiritually up, spiritually on top of things, spiritually going before the Lord, it impacts our health. And I've read, I read them, and I don't say anything because I'm not a doctor, but like doctors are saying it, but they'll use percentages like 75%, 80%, you know, of people's illnesses that come are in their mind. That's what doctors say. It's in your mind, you know. And I thought, well, wham, you get a cold. No, that's not. That's, you get a cold. You really do get a cold. But some people, their physical problems start within their mind, and it impacts their body, and their body folds under their thinking. Now, that's secular, by the way. That's not Christian. You know, I mean, that's not Christian. But the point of it is, there's a lot that goes on with one's mind and their physical health. So what he's saying here is, hey, man, I hope you do well, just as you're doing well spiritually. By the way, he's writing to Gaius. The rest of these people are just going on crazy, you know. So he's writing to Gaius. He's, hey, you know, hang in there. Don't get down. And we pray for your health. This would be consistent with your spiritual health. Now, the point of it is, I think we should recognize that there's an application that our physical health is connected to our spiritual health. Does that mean you'll never catch a cold? And if you catch a cold, Satan's attacked you. Okay. I mean, and I can't help it. I mean, it's just like Satan's at me. Well, if he attacked you with a cold and he sent some wimpy demon, you know, this guy can't do nothing. Go give this guy a cold. You know. you know, just get him out of my way. But yeah, I'm being foolish about it because I think we can be foolish about it. So anyway, so what we see here, the point I want to make here is that as we look at this, that Christians should take notice that their physical health can often be equated to their spiritual health. Now, the world would flip that over, real positive thinking and look on positive things and you'll be better. And you know what? They're right. That really, you positive, but they really do. Don't know Jesus, but, you know, they're pretty healthy. But they still get sick and colds and like that. But this is the Christians. Say, no, look to the Lord, walk with the Lord. Don't be, how many places don't be afraid? Don't be overwhelmed with fear. Don't trust in the Lord, you know. And we say, oh, yeah, okay. But this is saying, because it'll affect you physically. And if you trust in the Lord, walking with the Lord, doing the things of the Lord, it will affect you physically. You won't get that. You will be better physically. Amen? Isn't this a good verse? Some of you, I know this verse in 3 John, blow your socks off. So you go, hold on to this 3 John verse. Okay, so he's saying this, but so he's saying it in this note to Gaius, and he's going through some tough times. So, hey, you know, you're going to do healthy, you're going to make through this, and I know there's got a lot of pressure because I pray you do as well as you're doing spiritually. Your health will go as well as you're doing spiritually. There is a connection. There is a connection. Amen? 3 John, verse 2. Everybody go. Okay, go there. Now, the next verse in this note, and he's talking to Gaius, that reaffirms and confirms what John already thinks, is in verse 3. And again, you've got this family-believing atmosphere of intimacy there. So in verse 3, it says this. It's just a natural flow. John goes, it gave me great joy when some other believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. Joy. We're having so much at XYZ Church, but Gaius, you're my joy. You are my joy. People come back, you're the rock. You're the one standing. I'm so excited about you. You know, I just love you in the truth because you're standing for Jesus in this situation. So, again, what we have here is John says he has no greater joy than his children are walking in the truth. Say, even other believers are telling John about Gaius. Man, you wouldn't believe this guy. You know, and his faithfulness, truth, and his sincerity to daily living. This guy's being attacked. This guy's being attacked. And also, we should be a little encouraged. We go, oh, we're being attacked. The church has always been attacked from day one. It's always been attacked, you know. I mean, if we're not attacked, we really need to worry. Because if we're doing the right thing, we'll be attacked. If we're not, we won't be attacked. I heard this. This is funny. I'm just... This guy's talking, and he said that, I don't know, something came out in the Washington Post. I may have the paper wrong. And they addressed something that they had totally overlooked for the last 3 years. And so they actually said something positive about it. And the guy says, I don't know, that really bothers me. I don't know how to take that. He said, why? He said, Ronald Reagan told me that as long as the Post was criticizing him, he felt good that he was doing the right thing. He said, when they start bragging on you, he said, oh man, we screwed up somewhere. You know, anyway, so what you have here, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, they're coming back, and we see that Gaius, you know, is living it out, and he's being attacked. Why is he being attacked? Because he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's doing what he's supposed to do. And so that's the reason for this note to him, if you will. And so now here's something that's important And we have to realize in this world, until you recognize this has happened before, meaning that God knows where we are, meaning that God is helping us, meaning that we're here for a purpose, meaning we are to stand strong, right? And so walking in the truth is so important, because if we're not walking in the truth, we're walking in a different truth. See? In a different truth. And would, in fact, be claiming a different Jesus. See, that's what they want us to do, to walk in a different truth. But to do that, we'd proclaim a different Jesus. See, that's a guarantee to not to be persecuted. You know, walk in a different Jesus. And if you walk in a different Jesus, you walk in a different way of living together as God's people. And that's exactly what Satan and the world want you to do. Different truth, different Jesus, different way you walk together. Therefore, you're walking just as the world walks. Satan has won. You know, so, isn't this a powerful little book? You know, he's dropping no gas. Hey, gas, hang in there, buddy. Now, there is only one truth. I don't know. It's just amazing. You say, well, and you hear it. I mean, when you hear it, you're just kind of, he really said that. I mean, he really, really. He says, well, that's your truth. That's not my truth. I mean, I said, this is the podium. He said, that's your truth. That's not my truth. I said, I'm going to hit you with my non-truth. Then it'd become truth when I hit him with my podium. But no, but it's like you go in the car. You know, that's my car. Well, no, that's your truth. My truth, it's a plane. All right. You know, I'm going to go to Winchester, and I'll be there before you do. You know, it's a car. You're not going to get it. It's not a plane. You know, it's not going to make it. You know, if you get in and think it's a plane, there are going to be consequences, because it's not the truth. So when people say, well, that's your truth, that's not my truth, it's like, okay, that means you're going someplace, your truth is taking you, and there will be destruction at the end of it. You see what I'm saying? And so God said, no, this is the truth, and we get to the end, it's going to be obvious. It's going to be obvious, okay? So it's just like, I mean, you just feel sorry for somebody like that. Although, don't argue with them, you know, but you understand what's happening. God gives us truth. God gives us truth, and especially with this world that gives us all sorts of things that it calls truth. Okay. Now I'm going to read it. Now this is going to be, it's one of the things. I'm going to read this next verse about truth. And it's what's interesting, because it's this verse, and there's no overhead, there's not overhead for this one. These verses are not politically correct. They're just flat not. You know, Jesus says, no, this is the truth. You know, and the truth a lot of time is not politically correct. And then he says something about believing in that truth that is not politically correct. I mean, it's just not. And, you know, it kind of tells you, if you trust on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in him, sometimes, a lot of times, you're going to stand, it won't be politically correct. So being politically correct, one of the big things is to shut the church up. See? And that's success when you shut the church up. So here we go. In case we receive a different truth. They just, you know, Mr. Brilliant so-and-so comes in and they give us a different truth. The Apostle Paul says, now you can just note this, there's no overhead. Says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Now just know this. He's telling us, give us understanding. Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. But even, see, he's just told you the truth. He's told us the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody else is coming in. You know, they got this insight, another truth, their truth. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. But even if we are an angel from heaven, underline that or, you know, write that. But even if we are an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. Now that's, you need to look that up in the, you know, modern of the original, so we get to feel we don't want. It means let him be damned. Okay, so now, so here's understanding. Well, by the way, if you didn't, that's not politically correct. Okay, I just want to. But even if we, it's like Paul saying, if I come back and say, hey, I changed my mind. I mean, he includes, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ, contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. Don't give him an inch. Don't give him an inch. As we have said before, so I now say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. He said it twice. Said it again. See, truth, biblical truth, okay, will be not politically correct. See, Jesus wasn't politically correct. He wasn't, see. And his people, and if your church, and if people are criticizing you, say, okay, we must be standing with Jesus. Must be sin. Again, Jesus is all about love. I mean, that's the whole thing. We're sharing about love, salvation through Christ and like that. So, now, I'm going to say something. Again, it's not politically correct, and it's like going to can rub people the wrong way, and, you know, like your neighbors or anything else, and I could get away with saying it. And it maybe is what I should do. I'm not. It's just we ought to know the truth. It says, but if we are even an angel from heaven, just I saw this angel, and this angel told me this, you wouldn't believe. No, if he didn't tell you the truth, and you believe, you'd be politically. It says, you're cursed. Cursed. Now I'm going to ask you something. Where did the Mormons get their word from God? Where did the Mormons get their word from God that started Joe Smith, where he got that started the whole Mormon religion? The angel Moriah. That's what they believe. Moriah or Moroni. Whatever, which one, it's a demon. It's not an angel. The Mormon whole foundation for their religion is on the message from Moroni, the angel. That's their foundation. How can they build anything off of that? See? And God says, Mormons, is like, let them be accursed. Now, Mormons, my daughter played basketball with some Mormon kids, and nice kids, nice parents, you know. But here is the thing. This is not politically correct. You just got to know. You have to know. Niceness doesn't get it. It just doesn't. It just doesn't get it. Now, that's the truth. All you have to do is go see a Mormon and ask them. Amen. Amen. So this is what he's talking about. Yes, you're standing strong. And this in the book of Galatians, you know, that's Paul, not even he's to a different church, but he's saying the same thing. Stand on what you believe and not on some lie that somebody's telling you. Like today, with all the worlds you know, I was watching television last night, the news. I can't believe what they're talking about. I cannot believe what they're telling me that I can't tell the difference between a boy and girl. It's telling me. I mean, if they can do it, that's fine. But they're telling me I have to do it. That's what they're doing. And they're saying things. And it's crazy what they're just in the conversation and what's going on. And in New Jersey, they passed the thing where you can, you know, teach first graders, you know, that they can pick whatever they want to be in the first grade. You know, I mean, In the first grade, I was having trouble picking my colors out in the thing. In fact, they thought I was colorblind for a long time, you know, because they said, color this red. I'd get whatever's there. It doesn't make any difference. You know, it's like, so, but what I'm saying, no, we're going to teach them that they can choose whether they're a boy or a girl, you know. Okay. So, like today, with all the world's demonic lies, with all the politically correct language that proclaims inclusiveness, right? Inclusiveness, and a perverted love that is often just Satan's tool for paving the way to hell for all its followers. It is. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. See? Now, therefore, what we have here, John and other pastors, you know, have no greater joy than that their children or their disciples are walking in the truth. They don't believe it. They know the truth. Praise Jesus. Woods come up and, hey, well, guess what? I think I'm a girl. You know. God, Lord Jesus, you know. What? Okay, where you go from here? First of all, you don't have to step down being an elder. It's just not working. You know, I mean, I try to go as far as I can, but we're going to have to. Oh, Lord, you got to be kidding me. You're kidding me. Anyway. So you see where the church is standing up against it. Now, the church is under pressure. The church, it's not, you know, this is, you know, and you also find out what a true church is, you know, that you find out, like, okay, based on the truth, based on the scriptures. Now, anyway, so here we have, no greater joy than when our own children, natural or converts, are walking in the truth. That's a joy that you're walking in the truth, that you've been able to persevere. You stood up to the pressure. And the word children, of course, could designate all whom you feel a pastoral, you know, responsibility. And the sense of intimacy among Christians is evident. You see, when it's evident, there's an intimacy among Christians based on truth. You say, based on love. No, based on the truth. Love comes from the truth. Like that. See? Based on truth. So, the pastor calls the congregation my children, and they are those whom he feels a fatherly compassion and responsibility. And the use of these terms, like my children, directly reflects Jesus' use of the same terms. He spoke the same way to his apostles. See, and so he meant, so the church community should continue in the same intimacy which was experienced among Jesus and his disciples. That's what's supposed to happen. You know, that's what the church is supposed to work. And so this is God's command, God's goal. Therefore, with our heart, eyes set on God's love, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we take God's nature, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, we love one another in truth. In truth. Okay, and that doesn't mean, you know, I don't like blue shirts, and you come to church in a blue shirt, and I just can't love you. That's not my truth. You know, you just got to, you know, you see what I'm saying? But you know what we're getting here. We're talking about God's love and sacrificial giving like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to wrap up right here because some of you, and it's, as you may have noticed, and you have all experienced, you've been in churches where they have not been very loving, or people within the church have not been very loving, or this happened, and, you know, just like any family, people in churches fuss and fight, you know. But it's like, if in love, you know, like your kids say, I'm leaving you, you go, you know, I've thought about the same thing, but no, I got to keep you legally, you know. It's like, but it's like, no, you work through it. You work through it, you know. And so families have issues, but they work through it in love, and they grow stronger through it, all right? One guy told me, he says, Me and my wife never had an argument. And my first thought was, y'all don't never talk. You don't talk. I mean, if you never had an argument, you're not speaking, you know. Anyway, so you work through stuff. That's why you make stronger and you grow in the Lord and what have you. Now, and the reason I bring that up is we look at this, oh my gosh, sometimes it's kind of hard to be that loving and walk in that love and be that much humility, you know, and you know, do what the Lord.